And you need to know, the Word is your help. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. That's what it says. You know, and a lot of times we think that just pertains to salvation. It doesn't, you know. In context, it's written in terms of salvation and the new birth. But that word saved is the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. And it means a complete salvation. If you'll call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved from your sickness.
Wow, that's good. Amen.
It's true. That's what I said, something special, something supernatural. Demons have to flee. You cast out devils in that name. You call on the name of Jesus, they'll flee. Praise God. You call on the name of Jesus, you'll be saved from your poverty. Anything you need, Jesus is the answer. Supernatural name, greatest name there is, name above all names. That thing you're dealing with is just a name. It's just a name. Poverty, depression, fear, lack, anxiety, worry, stress, things in your family. It's just names. Jesus is the greatest. Jesus' name above all names. That's why we sing that. If you had a revelation about that, you'd worship him and you'd say, Jesus, 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 something happens when I call your name. The Bible says something happens. What happens? Salvation happens. Amen. Salvation from poverty, salvation from fear, salvation from anything you need. Glory to God. He is your answer. Praise the Lord. Well, we could go home right now and say we were blessed. Amen. And if some of you are hoping we do, man, oh man, I'm sorry, I got bad news for you. I got a message to preach. Praise God. I'm just messing with you. But go with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. God is good. Amen. God is good. I know that's something we say and it can sound so cliche, but it's true. God is good. And I truly believe that if you have a revelation of his goodness, it is the foundation for your faith. Because if you believe he's good, if you believe he's for you, if you believe he's on your side, no matter what you're facing, you'll go to him with confidence. You'll go to him in faith, and you'll fully expect things to change. Praise God. When I sing that Jesus, 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 something happens, I really believe something happens. Why? Because God is good. Hallelujah. So praise his holy name. Father, help us tonight. Lord, we need you. We're not here for man's plans, man's ideas, man's thoughts, man's opinions, man's philosophies, or man's theories. Lord, we're here for the life-changing Word of God. Now, Father, I take this seriously, Lord. This is not something that, Father, I just live however I want to throughout the week or however I want to throughout the day and then just throw on a suit and show up here and try to entertain people and try to just get through a service. No, Father, this is the opportunity for lives to be changed. One service can overturn destinies, can set people on a new course. So, Father, I thank you for the Word of God being spoken tonight. And I thank you for helping us tonight. Lord, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Now, Father, it's humbling to be able to share the word. People worked all day. They had things to do at home. They had things to do in their families. They have things to do when they leave here. And, Father, they came out on a beautiful May evening to hear the word. So, Lord, I thank you. It'll be worth it for them, and they'll leave changed, and they'll leave blessed. So, Father, I thank you. You're going to speak to hearts here tonight. Father, I thank you. People are going to get revelation, insight, wisdom. They're going to have answers. They're going to have encouragement, Father. They're going to be admonished, if corrected, if need be, Father. But we just say, tonight we walk out of here different. Tonight we walk out of here changed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Romans 12 and verse 2 says this. It says, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. Be changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says that our minds must be renewed in order for us to be changed or transformed into what God wants for us. What's God want for us? His perfect will. That's what he wants, the perfect will of God for his children. He wants you dead smack, dead center in his will. He says the only way you can get there is by transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, the word is what the word is God's will for our lives. The word, our needs being met, joy in our minds, peace, health, all these things that God says are ours that we can have, walking in the fullness of what he's called us to do, things like that, can only be attained by renewing our mind to the word. Once we renew our mind to the word, then we can walk into these things, into the perfect will of God. So every doctrine of God, for us to be transformed from darkness to light, your mind had to be renewed, right? My mind, when I was unsaved, my mind was in a place that I wasn't good enough for God, that I was doing too much wrong, that I I was overcome with addictions and things and thought, man, if I can't get to them doing things wrong, I'm never going to get to them because I can't get past these addictions, you know. They had me, you know. They had a grip on me. I was in bondage. And so my mind had to be renewed to the fact that he'll take me as I am. Because I've stayed away from him for so long because my mind was wrong in how I would receive. Well, when my mind got renewed, I was then transformed or changed into being born again. I saw the word. My buddy showed me, you know, in a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. I said, but Grandma says this. He says, I know, but Grandma said that, but the word says this. Jesus said, come, praise God. And it doesn't matter about all that other stuff. It just says, call the name of the Lord. It didn't say, call the name of the Lord if you don't have addictions, if you don't have wrong thinking. And so I got my mind renewed. Well, it's the same thing that's going to be for you and getting over your past. It's the same thing that's going to be for walking into healing, for walking into prosperity, to walking into all the blessings that God has. You're going to have to renew your mind to some things. And go with me now to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. I want to show you something that we have to renew our minds to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. This was the verse that was just strong, strong on my heart. When I had no idea what I was going to share tonight. You know, we're not in the middle of a series right now on Tuesday nights. I didn't know what to share and just sought the Lord, you know, and this verse just kept burning in me. And so it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. That verse is stirring in me, you know, and we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible tells us that is our marching orders. That's how we go through life. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, the problem with that is we have a body and we have a mind, and our body and mind likes to see things and touch things and have things concrete, right? There. And the Bible says that's not how we operate. It says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, here's the thing with walking by faith and not by sight. We know that faith is not optional around here. Now, if you think it's optional, just real quick, I'm going to mention a couple things to you real quick about faith, because I don't need to spend a lot of time telling you we've ingrained these things into you. Not that you can't benefit from hearing them again, but faith is not optional with God. In fact, the Bible says without it, you can't please him. I don't know about you, but I've always had a desire to want to please my Heavenly Father. I don't enjoy, you know, when I've stepped outside the boundaries of the Word or stepped outside the boundaries of His will, which is outside the boundaries of His Word. It grieves me. I don't like it, you know, if I talk sharply to somebody or if I walk in unforgiveness or walk in sin. I don't enjoy that thing. Well, I like to please Him. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith is not optional. Amen? Amen? The Bible says that faith is how we quench the darts of the wicked one in Ephesians 6. Faith is not optional unless you want the devil to have an inroad to you. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says that through faith is how we overcome. That's our victory. Well, if you want to be overcome, then faith is optional. But if you want to be the one overcoming, faith is not optional. Amen. Glory to God. And so we can go on and on about verses about what the Bible says about faith. And so we need to renew our mind to the principle that faith is what? Faith is of the unseen realm. Faith or belief is of the realm that we are most comfortable operating in. What do you mean? What we can see, what we know, what we can think, what we can make sense in our mind. That's where our comfort zone lies naturally. But we're not natural beings. And so we have to renew our mind to the fact that faith is of that unseen realm. And I was, this was over about a year ago. I might have even preached the sermon along this line in this church. I know I shared it in South Dayton. That the Lord had given me a little slogan type motto in my heart. I was on a walk with my dog, and I remember exactly the corner I was coming around when I was meditating, just praying the Holy Ghost. And, you know, you've heard the saying that's the facts, Jack. Yeah. You know, you might not... maybe the doctor tells you this is what your cholesterol is, this is what your weight is, you know, and they say, I don't like that weight, and the doctor said, I'm sorry, that's the facts, Jack, that's what your weight is, you know, or that's what the tests are saying, that's what your blood pressure is, I don't like that, well, that's the facts, or you go to the bank, and the teller says, this is what your balance is, I don't like that, well, that's the facts, Jack, right, and what's the facts are what the natural tells us. But I was walking my dog, just meditating and praying one day, and the Holy Ghost spoke up on the inside of me and said, and that term, that's the facts, Jack, kept going around in my spirit and floated up through to my mind, you know. And I, why am I thinking that's the facts, Jack? What's that have to do with anything? And then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost said this, but with me, the facts don't mean, Jack. That's what the Holy Ghost said to me that day, that in the world, that's the facts, Jack. Whatever, if the bank account says this, that's the facts. If the doctor's report says something, that's the facts. And I just was walking. I was like, why am I thinking about that's the facts, Jack? I hadn't even heard anybody say it to me recently when that was in my heart. I said, nobody said it to me. It wasn't like I was thinking about it. And then that's when the Holy Ghost said, but with me, the facts don't mean Jack. And he took me through the Word in some places that I want to take you tonight and show you that principle, because we walk by faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is a selling out, a belief, a persuasion, a fully convinced belief in God. Now, God in himself is the unseen realm, right? And faith is believing God's word. And God's word, a lot of times, for example, believing God's word on the subject of healing, for example. Well, God says something in his word about healing. He says, my will is to heal all of you. He said, I already did it 2,000 years ago. By his stripes, you were healed. You already been done. It's finished. But what happens in our bodies at times? Our bodies report things that are contrary to what God's word says. Amen. God's word says we're healed. God's word said it belongs to us and our bodies. And then it's not only backed up from our bodies, but it's backed up by these professionals, these doctors, men and women that went to school and are a bazillion times smarter than I am, you know, and they have the technology. You can see things on x-rays, you can see things on blood reports, you can see things on monitors, you can see things on machines, and the facts all point to that you're not healed. And that you're not free in your body. And so the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So we are to then, in our belief, now not in the natural, you don't disregard sickness, and if you're supposed to take medicine all of a sudden, well, I'm not supposed to take, because no, that's not what I mean. But in our belief, in our convinced, in our selling out of our mind to what we believe in, we're to believe it doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report says or what my body says. I have full confidence that this is the right report. Well, you could think about another area that's so telling. You know, the two things that I deal with people the most, number one is money, number two is healing in their body. That's why I talk about healing and finances a lot, because that's where a lot of people are. But it works with anything. If you're believing God for your children and maybe naturally they're going away, but the word says this, or maybe you're believing God for anything else. So it's not just about health and prosperity, but it is the two most things that people struggle and have questions about. And it's the two things that are easy to really put handles on and be practical and see them in a service. Well, think about finances. You know, your bills say something right on them of what you owe. I mean, it's got your name and address on it. It tells you owe this. And then you pull up your checking account or your savings account, and it's like, this bill is higher than what's in here, and I can't pay it, and I'm struggling, and we're overcome and overwhelmed because our money supply is here, our bills are up here, our outflow is up here, and that's the facts. That's true, right? But then, and the facts would then tell you, because of that divide there, that where it doesn't match up, it would tell you what? Your needs aren't being met. But God's word then says, I'll supply all your needs. I'm your provider. So then we are told to walk by faith and not by what we see, that our convinced, our selling out has to be in this and not this. Well, how does that happen? Only happens by renewing your mind to it. Renewing your mind, because the natural can be loud. The natural can report things. The natural can be right in your face. The natural can be so real, especially when you're dealing with numbers and you're dealing with the pressure in your mind about not meeting needs, especially when you're dealing with symptoms in your body and professionals are telling you things and you're feeling the effects. But yet to move from sickness to health, from poverty to prosperity, something has to turn. Faith has to be born and faith has to be walked out for that to work. Why? All things are possible if we can believe it. Not just because God said it. So somehow we have to step over the divide of the natural being so loud into a realm where it doesn't matter what our checkbook says. It doesn't matter what our body says. It doesn't matter what the natural says. We are convinced that God's word is the answer. And that's what he was telling me. That the facts, that's the facts, Jack. That's what the world says. I'm sorry. You know, a banker that doesn't know God, they'd say, I'm sorry. Your bills out, if you met with a financial analyst or an accountant or something, you know, or even a health person, they'd say, the facts are you have this disease. The facts are you're sick. The facts are that you can't meet your needs and pay your bills. That's the facts, Jack. And what are they saying? That's what you have to live with. But God said to me, the facts don't mean, Jack. What's that mean? You don't have to live with the facts. Now, again, every revelation we get has to be backed up by the Word. Who cares if Pastor Mike was walking and heard that? If I can't back that up by the Bible, I'm just some Looney Tune. And you might think that anyways, but I'm going to back at least that part up by the Word tonight. Amen. Praise God. Go with me to Numbers chapter 13. Hallelujah. We're trying to help you because I know how people can get into a trap where the natural is just bearing down on them, and the time trap too, or the natural's there for so long, and it's just, you start to get your belief in the natural, and can't do that. But Numbers chapter 13, look at verse 1. I want to show a couple places where the facts didn't mean Jack. In fact, only one thing means Jack. Then I'll point out what the one thing that means Jack is. Amen. And we'll point that out here in a second. But Numbers 13 and verse 1 says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. Now remember, God is saying this to Moses. So what is this? This is God's word. Send men that they may search the land of Canaan. Now look at the next statement here. Which I give. The land of Canaan was the promised land. He says, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one of a ruler among them. So God is saying, now remember, they've come out of Exodus. They made their mass exodus out of Egypt, you know. They've escaped. They're not slaves anymore. Now God is saying, I didn't bring you out to make you suffer. I brought you out to bring you into something. Yeah. Praise God. You know, God didn't bring you, yeah, that's good. I never said it that way, but that's true. God didn't bring you out of darkness to put you back into darkness for the rest of your life. He brought you out of the kingdom of darkness, which is the kingdom of sickness and poverty, to bring you into the kingdom of light, not to have you struggle. He didn't bring the Egyptians out of slavery to put them back into slavery. Life should get better when you get born again. I'm not saying it won't come without tests and trials, but life should get better when you get born again. Praise God. Now, so God is saying to them, I brought you out. Now I want to bring you into something. I brought you out. I want to bring you in. Man, that's a sermon right there. He'll bring you out of something to bring you into something. Stay tuned. That one might be coming down the pipeline sometime. I mean, that's just too catchy not to preach. He'll bring you out to bring you into something. And so he said, what am I bringing you into? The promised land. So he says, let's go check out the promised land. He says, send a spy, you know. And they sent out the 12 spies, two of them being Caleb and Joshua. And let's pick it up in verse 25. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days, so they did what the Lord said. And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron. Now, here's the thing, though. God didn't tell them, go search the land, and whatever you see, make a decision on whether or not you can have it now. That was already done. See, they went in, they must have went into it by the reaction, checking it out to see, can we have this? God already settled to them that they could have it. See, if they would have went, see, if you go to your doctor's appointment already knowing what the word says, it takes away the shock and the fear when the report says something different because you already went knowing what belongs to you. Amen. That's so good. Amen. It's true. If they would have already went into the land with the mentality, it's ours, God wasn't saying, go look at it to see whether or not you can do this. No. He said, just go look at what I'm giving you. Because there were some natural things that they would have to do and some planning. And God knows there's natural steps to be taken in things. But they went in there with the mentality of, okay, let's see if we can have it or not. No, God already said that. I've given it to you, he said. And so it says, after 40 days, and they went to came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and they came back unto them and brought back word unto the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land, whether you sent us, now look at this, and surely it flowed with milk and honey. Well, of course it did. God doesn't give anything that's not good. What does the book of James say? He gives every good and perfect gift, right? God is a giver of good things. And so this was the promised land. This is the land of Canaan. This is the land that flows with milk and honey. This land represented abundant life for them. It was a type and shadow of Jesus. They died on the cross in Exodus, right? In Egypt, they were slaves in the darkness. When they were delivered over the Red Sea, that was a type and shadow of being delivered, but salvation, and then brought into abundant life, the same way we were. It's a type and shadow, right? We were in darkness under the devil's kingdom. We've been born again. Now what? Translated into abundant life, or land of Canaan living, or promised land life. That's what God wants for his children. And so he said that it was good. It's real good there. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites. Man, at least there weren't any parasites or termites. I mean, they're all mad. I have all these ites there, but there could have been some more ites that would have bothered them. No termites and parasites. What more do they want? It says, dwell by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, now here's what you have to understand. They told them to bring back report of the land. So them coming back and saying, it flowed with milk and honey, there's walled cities, there's strong people there, that wouldn't have been wrong to do so. You go home to your spouse or go home and someone knew you had a doctor's appointment or whatever, and they say, how'd it go? What did the test show? And the test said, well, my blood pressure's this. My blood pressure's really bad, or it's in a dangerous level. And you go home and say, my blood pressure, it was awesome. Well, that's not telling the truth. But how many of you know the way you say things matter? Now, see, because the Bible says that Caleb stilled the people and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. Well, he's now encouraging them with faith. They must have said it in a way that wasn't, it is flowed with milk and honey, there's strong people there, and there's walled cities, just a report. They must have said, because they said, nevertheless, they must have said, it's a really good land, but there's people there, and they're strong, and there's walled cities. It's one thing to report the facts in faith. It's another thing to report the facts in doubt and unbelief. And Caleb must have heard that in their voice, because they weren't wrong to report the facts. That's what they were told to do. And that was the facts of the land. In fact, Caleb never says in verse 30, Caleb didn't steal the people and said, no, don't listen to the 10 spies. They're lying. We didn't see strong people. We didn't see walled cities. We didn't see any of this. All we saw was milk and honey, because Caleb saw the same thing they saw. They saw the walled cities. They saw the strong people there. But must be the way they report it. And Caleb must have sniffed that out and said, ooh, they're not believing this. And then Caleb says, I got to interfere here. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. See, Caleb knew that the walled cities and the strong people meant that it wasn't just going to be waltzing in and just falling off a tree onto your lap. There was going to be a pressing. There was going to be an overcoming. There was going to have to be victory there, but that's okay. The Bible calls it the good fight of faith. What did Paul say? Reaching forth, pressing forward unto those things that are before us. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't just waltz in, tiptoeing through the tulips into our possessions. He said we have to possess it. We have to take possession. We have to overcome. But that's okay. God's on our side. Amen. Amen. And it says in verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now, guess what? That might have been the facts. And in the world, what is the motto? That's the facts, Jack. But with God, now let me ask you, now we're going to prove my point that the facts don't mean Jack. Did God tell them this was their land? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Do you think that God was caught off guard when he saw the stronger people there?
No.
Do you think that God was caught off guard all of a sudden when... do you think God was sitting in heaven on his throne, filing his nails? You know, he does it and just doing his thing. And all of a sudden he hears them say, there's strong people there and there's walled cities. And God drops his nail. What? Strong walled cities and strong people? Well, that changes everything. Forget everything I said about you can have a life. I didn't know that was there. No. He wasn't caught off guard by that. He wasn't taken back by that, was he? Absolutely not. God was not shocked. He said they could have the land, right? Even though the circumstances and the natural said, that's the facts, Jack. What facts? You can't have this. What did the walls say? No. What did the strong people, what were they saying? No. Well, Pastor Mike said that God told him that the facts with God don't mean Jack. Well, what were the facts? Can't have this, walled cities, people. But God said they could have it, so guess what? With God, the facts don't mean Jack. God told them it was their land, even when the facts of the natural said it wasn't. Why? Because with God, the facts don't mean Jack. Amen. I'll tell you, God will make you look good. I can't come up with this stuff on my own. I'm not very smart when it comes to that stuff, you know. And so it says, the men went up and said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Now, are you saying it's evil to report the facts? No, they were told to report the facts. It's evil to put your faith in the facts. Because what were the facts doing? The facts were contradicting what God said they could have. The facts were turning their belief, were enticing them to believe the facts over God. And God said, that's evil. You know what's evil? When you believe anything that's not God. When you put your faith in something above God and what God said, that's evil. That's evil, praise God. Why? We walk by faith and not by sight. And it says, they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched the land of Israel. And the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw were of great stature, and they saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now, for time's sake, I wanted to prove a point that what? The facts say something, but God says something. And guess what the result was of these people? You know the result of these people. They didn't get their promised land. Not for 40 years. That's 40. 40 years, they didn't get it. Even though that was God's will. I almost said it sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church, but this was a former Presbyterian church, so that would have been an accurate statement, you know. I say that because, you know, places I grew up in, some of the denominations, man, you don't say anything in church, you don't get excited, and so that's not me being snarky towards them. It's an inside joke with myself. It's really what it is. I'm just up here just having fun by myself up here, I guess. So anyways, the facts don't mean Jack. That was the facts. The facts were, you can't have it, but God said you could. They put their faith in the facts, and guess what happened? They didn't get it. Well, let me put that on a more personal level for you. Doctors' reports... symptoms in your body are factual. In the natural, they're factual. God said, even though the doctor's report says that, even though your body feels that way, God says, healing is yours. If you can't get to a place where you believe Him over what you feel and what you see on a piece of paper, you'll be like the children of Israel, and you'll wander around in the wilderness of sickness and disease, even though God has better for you. Your checking account, your bills are factual. You can see it. You can do it with a calculator. You can see the numbers there. You can try to manipulate things, but the numbers always come out the same. Yet God says something different. You have a choice. And if you can't get to the place where you can have faith in what he says and belief in persuasion. Remember what faith is, fully persuaded, convinced, sold out. You won't transform into that. I'm sorry. You know what I said before about tearing down the walls of religion? I don't care how much you beg him, plead him, whine and cry, how many years you stay in sickness, how many years you stay in disease, how many years you stay in poverty, and all these wrong things that are not abundant life, until you step over into the realm of faith, things will not change for you. That is the realm of change, is faith. And you can't be a faith person until you renew your mind to the fact that the natural is not what we go by, no matter what it says. Let's look at a second example in the Word, and then I'm going to give you a story here. A story I've told before, but it's a story that the Holy Ghost told me to share because it's so pertinent to what we're sharing tonight. Romans chapter 4, of course, is the Abraham chapter. And you talk about facts, and the facts don't mean jack. Let's look at some facts in Romans chapter 4. Oh, let's go to verse 17. Says, as it is written, talking about God is saying something, I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens or makes alive the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. See, God has no problem. I preached a sermon one time called the eye of faith. There's the eye of the body, but there's also the eye of faith. You know what the eye of faith does? The eye of faith sees through the natural. See, the Bible says that God has the eye of faith. What? He calls things that aren't as though they were. What? He sees past the natural unto what he knows it can be. You have to be able to see past the sickness into the health to receive it. You have to be able to see past the poverty or whatever you're dealing with and not put your faith in that, but see the end result of what God has said to help you. The eye of faith, it's called. And it says here that who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith. He said he considered not, but these are what the facts were. Remember, he was almost 100 and Sarah was 90. He considered not his own body, which now dead. Now, not talking about his heart being dead. It's talking about the operation of his body was a little different than when he was a 20-year-old man. Right? There were things that just, you know, as you get older, you know, the Bible says, though the flesh perish, the inward man grows stronger day by day, you know. I found that out one time when I went and played a pickup football game a couple years ago. What in the world? In my mind, I'm just as fast as I used to be. I was playing against these younger guys. I thought, I am not as fast. I was telling your son the other day, Rebecca, when you guys came to South Dayton, he was telling me, Cameron, that he's a pitcher. He was telling me how fast he throws. He throws fast. I said, we got to go to the field and I want to hit against you. I got to see if I can still do this. Now, in my mind, I think I'm going to hit it, you know. It's probably going to make me look like a fool. But in my brain, you know, I think I'm going to hit him. I'm going to show this young whippersnapper how it's done. And he's going to probably show me how it's done. That's the way it was on the football field anyways. And man, I woke up the next day. I said, I never felt this way that I used to feel, you know. So you get older and things like that. But my point is that I said all that to say that a 99-year-old man's body doesn't work the same as a 20-year-old. I know you needed all those analogies and descriptions to get you over there. I mean, it's a hard thing to grasp. I get it. So that was a fact. He's 90 when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of his 90-year-old wife's womb. Right? And what's the facts? That 90-year-old women don't give birth. But God said, now remember, here we go again now. The facts say that's not a couple that is destined for a child. Isn't that what the facts say? But y'all remember what Pastor Mike told him when he was walking his dog Willow around that corner on Trask Road in Lakewood, New York? Do you remember? God told me that with him, the facts don't mean jack. I mean, Abraham and Sarah could have gone to a baby doctor. I know there's a term for it. It's slipping my mind. But they could have gone to a baby doctor, you know, that helps you. And they would have said, yeah, we're getting ready. After this, we're going down to Lowe's, a Home Depot, buy stuff for our nursery. The doctors would say, well, slow down here. I'm sorry to tell you. Your womb isn't working. And Abraham, everything's, and you's not working right. You're not having a baby. And what that is what? That's the facts. But God said the facts don't mean jack. And so, praise God, we know the end of the story, don't we? That they did have a baby. Why? Well, let's see why they had a baby. Verse 19. Now remember, actually go to verse 18 still. We'll go to verse 18. Remember what I said about the children of Israel? They put their faith where? In the facts. In the natural. And guess what happened? They didn't receive. Abraham had a lot of facts yelling at him, screaming at him, talking to him. And guess what Abraham put his faith in? Well, it says in verse 18, who against hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now look at, and not being weak in faith, he considered not the facts. That's what you can say. Those are the facts. His body being dead, neither get the deadness of Sarah's womb. So you could say this, that Abraham considered not the facts. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. Now, children of Israel, a group of people, were promised something. They had facts that said no. They believed the facts. Did they get into what they wanted to be? No. Abraham promised something. Facts said no to that promise. I know. Some of you at times wonder, Pastor's talking about prosperity, but that ain't how my life looks. That ain't what my bills say, my checkbooks. The facts don't mean jack. Just get your faith and your belief on the Word. I know Pastor Mike talks about divine healing, but man, my body keeps doing this, and the doctors keep saying that. The facts don't mean jack. Get your faith off the natural and get it into the what God has said. That's how the transformation is going to come. Amen. And so, children of Israel don't believe. They believe the facts. They don't get in. Abraham has facts that are saying, no way, it's impossible. The facts are saying no. He believes God. He gets into his promise. See the difference? Yeah, that's good. James tells us this. James tells us in chapter 1, he says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed to the wind, for let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. What's receive? Receiving is walking into something that you didn't have. When you receive something, you're getting something you didn't have. Receiving something from God is walking into something that you don't have. Walking into the health. Walking into the prosperity. Walking into the peace. Walking into the victory. How do you walk into it? Has to be by faith. Well, in the realm of faith, remember, we renew our minds that we walk by faith, not by sight, because sight is going to tell us no. Sight is going to tell us impossible. Now, what did it come down to for Abraham? It came down to verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. See, Abraham didn't put his faith in medical technology, didn't put his faith in medication, didn't put his faith in some doctor being able to do something. No, he put his faith in what God said. Now, this is what I want to share. This is the grand finale here as far as the firework coming. The facts don't mean jack. Remember I told you what's going to mean jack? The only thing that means jack is what God has said. That is it. If God has said it, that's the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter how much the doctors say. It doesn't matter how much your checkbook says. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural for your situation. If God said it, remember a great example of that is when Peter stepped out of the boat into the water and walked on the water. Well, how many of you know the facts say you can't do it? I dare you, go try. Go get out of a boat and see how much walking across that water you do. You won't. Wear a life jacket if you can't swim because you're going under. But the facts don't mean jack with God because Jesus said, yeah, come on. And he what? He believed the word of Jesus. The Bible said he walked on the water. Why? The facts don't mean jack. Only thing that meant, the only thing that enabled Peter to walk on that water was two things. What God had said, which opened the door for it, and Peter's faith in what God said. That's all that matters. The only thing that matters is what God has said, and if you can believe it. God said something for the children of Israel. That's the first part of it. The second part was they needed to believe it. They didn't believe it. They didn't get it. God said something to Abraham. That's the first part of it. But Abraham believed what God said. They got into it. It's the same thing for you. God is going to say something to you concerning your situation in the word or in your heart. And now the choice is yours. The ball's in your court. Either you're going to believe that word or you're not going to believe that word. And whatever you do with that word is going to determine whether or not you walk into it or kept out of it. That's that simple. Amen. Very practical faith message, right? Now let me close with this story here. I've told this story a lot, but When I told this story to Pastor Michael Laketic, my pastor, the apostle and the prophet over the family churches that's doing things, and Pastor Michael's doing things and through these churches on the East Coast that ministers around the world are saying, are talking about what's going on the East Coast. There's something happening, I'm telling you. With these planting of these churches, these word churches, we're going to contend for things. And when I told him this story, he put his fork down at the restaurant, the Mustard Seed in South Dayton, New York, and he said, Pastor Mike, that's Brother Hagin kind of stuff. Now, when he said that, I didn't fully understand what he meant, but the testimony of what it was he was saying was on the level of things Brother Hagin. I thought, my goodness, that's the greatest compliment I've ever received, but I didn't realize. I just walked it out as God led me to. So I want to share it with you because it has everything to do with this. Back in 2000 and I think it was 14 or 13. It would have been when Abby was born, so 2013. Back in 2012, we started believing God for a new house. Abby was going to be born in 2013. The house we lived in Jamestown was tiny. I mean, it was so small. I didn't, have an office. I didn't have an office there my office was in the basement, in a cold, dark, dirty basement that most of the time I would get super scared because all of a sudden a spider would bump, drop right down on me. And I don't do well with spiders, you know. And it's cold and dark down there, but, we made do with it. And our house is tiny, and to bring another baby into that home, you know. How many of you know God doesn't want you just to skimp by in life? I know there's a ditch on prosperity. I do know that. There's two ditches on prosperity. There's one where you don't ever talk about money, and God wants you poor, and God's not interested. But then there's the ditch over here that everything's about money and everything's about loading up. Listen, prosperity first and foremost is so we can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. It's not to bless ourselves. Right. Now, we do our best. God wants us blessed, but I don't preach prosperity from the standpoint of let's line our pockets and be some selfish and greedy and lavish people that live this lifestyle. No, I preach the kingdom needs finances. To go forward, the body of Christ needs to be blessed to be a blessing. And so, so God wants blessed. Would I have been content in that house the rest of my life if that was the Lord's will? It would have been, but it wasn't meeting our needs, and God said he'd meet our needs. So I'm going to accept that. I'm not going to feel bad about that. And so I think we looked for 26 months for a house, and we had gone in other homes and things around the South Dayton area. I just had it in my mind that if I'm pastoring in South Dayton, I'm going to live in South Dayton. That's just how my natural mind worked. And this was before Olean had started, when we started looking for a house, before this church started. And I just had that in my mind. So we would look in the South Dayton area, the Cherry Creek area, the Leon area, the Conowango, the Cattaraugus area. And we'd go into homes that were beautiful and nice. And the Holy Ghost all the time would bear witness to me, like almost instantly, even when we'd get there, this isn't your home. This isn't your home. This isn't your home. And so I started to seek God. It's like, Lord, 26 months, Abby's going to be born here in a little bit. Court's pregnant with her. And I got the witness in my heart that our time's not done in the area we live in, the Jamestown, Lakewood area and things. And I didn't know it at the time, but now I'm seeing some things that I don't need to share. I maybe share sometime that of why the Lord has us there. But let me say this. I need to point this out. I'm going to say this because the door just opened for me to say this to help people, because people get thoughts at times. I don't know if you remember in the warehouse, this was years ago, that I prophesied something because the Lord had revealed something to me that I didn't know was going on in this church. And I had two people afterwards come up in tears and saying to me right after the service and say, it's like you were in my home reading my thoughts and what I was saying. Well, they had got the thought that I look at this church as lesser than South Dayton, that they thought this was just kind of on the side. And the Lord revealed that to me, and it shocked me, because I know for me, I don't do anything different here than I do in South Dayton. I don't put it, the praying and seeking God and being alone. And so I had revealed that. I said, that's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from the enemy. And people came up and they were comforted that God would show me that, it helped them, it blessed them. And even just the other day, I had someone say to me, well, I'm concerned about making you my pastor because is this just kind of like a side thing for you, a side church? I was like, side thing? I've given my life for this place. Amen. See, don't let the fact that I live an hour away mean anything. Who cares where I live? It just means if I got to get to you, I just got to leave a little earlier. It doesn't affect you. affects me. I got to get up early or leave early. It doesn't affect you. It's never, the distance has never gotten in the way. So just watch out for those thoughts. The devil will tell you anything to divide you from your shepherd. He is so sneaky. Amen. So the Lord said we're supposed to live there or whatever. And we were starting to look for homes in that area. And drove by the house that we're currently in, and it had a for sale sign. And I've always drove by that house. I mean, I really like that house. That house is beautiful. It just blessed me, you know. It's not some palatial huge thing, you know, but it's a nice home, you know, in the area. And it's got 20 acres of land. And the great thing is I can hunt and still be 5 minutes from Chicken McNuggets. You think, I'm kidding. I have people in my church that live in Cattaraugus, and they don't have, like, McDonald's and stuff. And I think, you live without chicken nuggets. I mean, every once in a while, you got to have some chicken nuggets. And so I can go hunting and get my chicken nuggets. You know, Walmart's right there. All the stuff's right there. But yet I'm in the country. So it's great. It's perfect. And I like the home. But then I pulled into the driveway, saw the Real Estate Advantage sign on there, saw the number there. And I called the number and looked up the listing online. And the price was so far out of our price range. Let me give you an example of how far out of our price range it was. At this time, I'm the only one employed by the small little church in South Dayton. Courtney, who was the breadwinner, who made the good money, who had the degree, and worked her way up in the Lakewood or Jamestown YWCA as the children's director of the whole thing. I mean, she had so many people under and different things, and she was making the big bucks. Lord had told her a little bit earlier that year, to step away from her job, to leave her job. Well, that financially put us. But my point is this, when we were looking for a job or a house, we went and got a pre-approval to find out what kind of a house can we look for. And so I was a pastor. She was working a job with the big money, and they gave us an approval of how much money that they would give us a loan for. Well, this house, now remember, we're only in one job. Now, her job's gone, so we get this approval for how much we're able to borrow while we have two jobs. This house is tens of thousands of dollars above what we're approved for back when she's working. So now we have my income, South Dayton, pastoring, one income, and I look at the house and I see that number, and instantly in my mind I say, forget that. It's kind of like when I was looking in the newspaper, bachelor's degree required, master's degree preferred, and I said, that's not my job. Why? Because the facts are, I don't have those. I can't have that job. The facts say I need a bachelor's, and they prefer if I have a master's. The facts say I don't. But God then stepped in. Remember that revelation that Pastor Mike Anderson had when he was walking his dog, and the Lord said that the facts don't mean jack? Well, the newspaper said some facts, and the job said some facts, but then God said, that don't matter, facts don't mean jack with me. Apply for the job, and I got it. Well, the facts were that the bank would give me a loan not even close to the amount that this house is being asked for when she's working. Now she's not working. Our income is so far below. And I turn it off in my mind, and the Holy Ghost on the inside says, make an appointment to see it. Oh, that's mean. I don't want to see this. I learned my lesson to speak out loud to him. You know, remember before when I said, can you read, Lord? When he told me to apply for that job that I didn't have the qualifications, and I out loud said, can you read? You know, I've got a little bit better and matured a little bit more over that. But my thought was, that's mean. I was thinking, you're going to have me see a home that we know we like? We've been looking all these years? I'll tell you what, I bring Court to this thing, and she sees this thing and starts seeing it, that's going to be the end of that. It's like you bring her to see a puppy. Dumb move. If you don't want a dog, don't bring her to see the puppy. Or you're going to be in a horrible husband and getting in trouble. I thought, that's mean, you know? So I said, oh, Lord, I've learned to obey you. That's the key. The willing and obedient will end up eating the good of the land. See, God knows more than us. God sits from a perched position, sees the end from the beginning. God told Abraham, take your son up and kill him on a mountain. Well, the facts and the natural would say, no, don't. And you can imagine your flesh. But he did it. And what did it lead to? The Bible says, because you have done this thing, you obeyed my voice. He didn't kill him. God provided a ram, remember, in the thicket. God never wanted to kill Abraham, or Abraham's son Isaac. But he obeyed him and was going to do it. And God said, because you've obeyed my voice. And then you go out and you look at all the blessings that came from listening to his voice. So many people will not step through that door of obedience because of what their flesh, their mind feels, what the facts are saying. Just obey God. He said, make an appointment to see it. And I had all these thoughts of, oh, court this, and it's going to get our hopes up, and we can't afford this. Like, make an appointment to see it. So we made an appointment to see it, and I walked through the front door, which is, it's an addition they put on the house that's right into the living room, and it's kind of an open floor plan that looks into the dining room. And then at the time, through another door was like a laundry room out there. And as soon as I walk in, the Holy Ghost testifies in my heart and witness in my heart was, this is your house. Instantly, that's what it said. I knew it. I just knew it. I had a knowing. The word of wisdom, word of knowledge operated right there. So I looked through the house, you know. Of course, she loves it. I love it. I hadn't told her what the Holy Ghost had said to me yet. And I went back home and got in his presence. I said, Lord, okay, I know you said this is my house. But the facts say it's not. And Lord, I'm not moved by the facts. I've seen you do things before. I saw it with my job, saw it with all these other things. And I'm, you know, rehashing some of these things. And I say, Lord, I don't understand how this is going to happen. And the Lord, the next step the Lord says to me is, make an appointment to walk the land, because there's 22 acres there. So I did. I made an appointment with the realtor to walk the land. I'd always tell the story. It was a hot, muggy day in the summertime, and Court is like going Mach 90 through the woods because she's like, get me out of this. Too many mosquitoes. I don't like this. It's thick, and things are hitting her in the face. My realtor somehow got injured playing golf. I still don't know how you injure yourself playing golf, but he got injured playing golf, and so he's hobbling along. So he's not keeping up, and she's speeding up, and I'm just walking the border, and I'm talking to God, and I'm praying in tongues. And I'm seeking God. Well, what does the Bible say about praying in tongues? He that prays in an unknown tongue speaks out mysteries. See, when you don't know, the Holy Ghost does know. I am so excited someday to preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost here. As soon as the Lord releases me to do it, we're going to do it. Amen. When you don't know the answer, the Holy Ghost does. And the Bible says, he that prays in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Well, I don't know how I'm going to get into this, so I'm just praying in tongues. What am I doing? Praying out mysteries. Things that I don't know, but he knows. Things that need to be revealed to me. It doesn't need to be revealed to him. He already knows. But it needs to be revealed to me. How? I'm going to pray it out in the Spirit. And so I'm praying in tongues. And the Holy Ghost speaks so clear in my heart. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was the authoritative voice in my spirit, almost like it was penned in my heart. He said, when you get back, you tell the realtor three things. He said, this didn't count as the one of the things. It would have been four, I guess, if you're saying total. But he said, tell him you want the house. Remember, I've tried to pay with a smile before, and it's not worked yet. Right. So I thought, what am I going to pay with a smile? The smile's not worked yet. And so he said, tell him three things. Tell him, number one, it's a cash deal. The money's in the bank. That's what the Holy Ghost said. He said, number two, tell him that you don't need to sell your house first, which I can't even afford. I can't even afford this new house. How am I going to pay for two? And he said, and tell him that you can tell the lady, they built that house in the 60s, her and her husband did. It was very dear, near and dear to her heart. He had passed away. Tell her that she can pick any move-in date or move-out date that she wants. You know, usually when you sign a contract, it's 30 days, 45 days, 6, whatever you decide. He said, in fact, say, I don't care if it's 2 or 3 years down the road, whenever she wants to move out. Well, those are three things that naturally, absolutely, we're not able to happen. We needed to sell our house first, at least to get that payment out of the way, to try to get into this huge payment compared to that. We absolutely, a cash deal, the money's in the bank. Well, Lord later revealed to me that it was a cash deal, the money in the bank. It just wasn't in my bank account. But the money was in the bank, just not my account. But it was there. And the third thing was that she can pick whenever. And I'm thinking, but what if we sell our house, which we need to do, and she's not ready to move out? We have nowhere to live. But he's telling me, tell her whatever. And so I got back for the meeting, and I'd shared with Court what was revealed to me, and all that wasn't revealed to her, but it bore witness in her heart. She knew that that house was hers, but we didn't discuss it. I think we were too afraid to say it out loud, you know. And so I went back, and I got done. The realtor, here he comes hobbling through the woods. It's golf injury, you know. It's a dangerous sport. I mean, it's clubs and balls, but his ankle, so I'm not sure if someone was hitting him or what. But I said, Steve, and we have a realtor in the South Dayton Church, Steve Muck. It wasn't him. I didn't know him yet. I said, Steve, we'll take it. He said, oh, that's wonderful. He said, and I said, and it'll be a cash deal. The money will be, money's already in the bank. That's what the Holy Ghost said to say. I wasn't lying. The money is in the bank. That's what they do over there at banks. You don't have money. And I said, and tell Mrs. Anderson, that was their name, and on the back of the house, there's an old maple syrup barn there where they used to make the maple syrup. And on the barn, it says, the Andersons. That's my last name, in case you didn't know. And so I said, and tell Mrs. Anderson that we don't even need to sell our house. Because how many of you know, in a house buying, that can hold up a lot of things. If the person needs to sell their house first, and the other person's waiting for them to get their mortgage commitment and stuff, but their contingency, what if it takes them 2-3 years to sell their house? It can hold things up. I said, tell her, we don't even need to sell our house first. He's getting happier, you know. And I said, and last but not least, I know this place is important to her, and it's her home, and she's older. You tell her she picks the move-out date. Well, normally it's 45. I said, no, I don't care how long it is. 2-3 years. That's what I said, because that's what the Holy Ghost said to say. Now, see, I don't say this stuff unless the Holy Spirit tells me to say it. But how did all this come about? Because I made an appointment to see a place that the facts said no. But it doesn't matter what the facts say. It only matters what God says. And if God says make an appointment, that's what I'm going to do. Then God says walk the land, that's what I'm going to do. If God says tell her to sit, tell him to all these things I just told you, that's what I'm going to do. I said, tell her she can move out whenever she wants. Well, he calls me a few days later and he says, I've never had an offer like this before. He's like, you need to sit down and tell her yourself in person. So I did. I threw a suit on. We went over to her house very professionally, you know, and I sat her down and I said, I never said anything about God. How many of you know we don't pressure people that way? Right. You don't need to drop your little faith hints that God said to do this, God said to do that. No. I sat Mrs. Anderson down. I said, I got to be honest with you. We love this property. We love this place. We'd love to have our family here and grow up here and live here. It's just wonderful. I said, but it's ultimately your decision. We want you to be blessed by this as well. I said, but I want you to know. I said, number one, I said, it's a cash deal. We don't have to wait for mortgage commitments. The money's already in the bank. And I'm thinking the whole time as I'm saying this, what are you saying? And then I said, and Mrs. Anderson, we don't even need to sell our house first, so there's not going to be a holdup there. Because I'm making a pitch to her why she wants to sell it to us. And then I said, and also, you pick whenever you want to move out. And I could see her eyes get bigger. You pick whenever you want, Mrs. Anderson, because she's waiting for some apartments, like some senior housing to be done, and it's not done yet. And so if she sells her house, she and we need to move in, she has nowhere to go. And so me telling her that, it comforted her so much. Me telling her it's not going to be held up by a house selling comforted her. I didn't know this at the time because I didn't know anything. I just, you know, didn't know much about this stuff. Me telling her it was a cash deal comforted her. Why? No, I don't have to wait for any banks denying you at the end and things. So I told her all those things. Now, before we went into that meeting, we asked the Lord, Father, we want to be good stewards of the money here. I still don't know how we're going to pay for this. What do you want me to offer for this house? So she prayed, I prayed. We came together after praying when we knew we heard from God. We didn't just do this for some exercise, some fun. We prayed separately. I said, you tell me what number you get, I'll tell you what number I get. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3, bam, we both said the same exact number, which was tens of thousands of dollars less than what they were offering. So we got to the end and I said to her, I said, I know how normal negotiations go, Mrs. Anderson. But see, the Lord spoke to me. We asked, what is she going to take the house for? What is the best deal we can get? We don't want to rip her off, but I don't want to get into negotiations. Lord, what is the number? Gave it to me, gave it to court, 1, 2, 3, boom, we said the same number. So I said to Mrs. Anderson, I said, I know how normal negotiations go. I know that sometimes people lowball people just for the hopes that they'll take it, go back and forth. I said, I don't want to go back and forth. I'm going to tell you what we're willing to pay for this home. I said the number, and you could tell it kind of took her back a little bit. And I could tell that was like, in the realtor's mind, you know, the Price is Right noise. Because I thought the realtor's then thinking, oh, no wonder you're saying the money's in the bank and this and that, because you're going to offer this much money for it. So we get out of the meeting, you know, and we tell her, I said to her, Mrs. Anderson, if you say no to us and you go to somebody else, I'm going to see at Wegmans, give you a hug and see how you're doing. We'll be okay. I just want you to be happy with this. It's important to me as a Christian when you're in a deal that both people feel good about the deal. We're not out to rip people off, ladies and gentlemen. A good deal is when both parties are satisfied and walk away feeling good. I don't want anybody to walk away from me knowing I'm a Christian and feel like he ripped me off. You know, these Christians are always swindling and swining to get a good deal. I'm not saying it's not bad to look for a deal and to be a good steward, but not at the expense of somebody else. It's not right. It's not honorable. And so I wanted her to be happy, and I meant it. I wasn't just blowing smoke at her. I said, "If that's fine. If you don't do it, we're good." Well, we go away, and the realtor waits a couple days and calls me. He sees us outside. He says, "Well, I'll call you in a few days." He says, "Mike, it doesn't look good." He said, "Number one, your offer's it's just too low." He said, "In fact," he said, "we have, I think it was at least four to six it was, I can't remember the exact number, she has it all written down, people have called and have offered full price for the home. And we have other people have called and said, if people are asking full price for the home, we'll pay more for the home. Now we're off, we just told her, we'll give you tens of thousands of dollars less, and people are calling her saying, we'll give you more than you're asking for." Well, a lot of people like that place because of the quietness and the proximity to stuff, and it's in Southwestern School District. And that's for, you know, public schools in that area, it's a good school system, and people love that for their kids. And it's close, right down the road. And so people were offering for that, offering full price and more. And hear me, I'm sitting there saying, I'll give you tens of thousands of dollars less. But that's what God said, and he already told me it's mine. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the thoughts came. And before we had saw that house, we had looked at another house in Jamestown. And this was on the outskirts of town. Now, this is important. I'm almost done here. It was on the outskirts of town. And so it was kind of in the country. Behind was fields and woods in Jamestown. It was in the end of a cul-de-sac and a round circle. And it was the house right on the end. And it was everything that we had been confessing for. Garage and things. It had a pool in the back. It had all this fireplace in it. I mean, just what we wanted. You know, so much space compared to what we were in. And the price was like triple less in the payment would hardly even take us even higher. And the reason it was so low is because the family needed to sell. The dad took a job in Pittsburgh, and so they're living separate, and they're getting desperate because they don't want to be separated, and so they're willing just to get rid of this thing. He's got a good job. Let's just get rid of it. And the price was so low. And I remember being so stressed about this in my flesh and in my mind at what I'd said to the realtor. And this house comes up, and the price gets dropped even more, and the realtor tells us, and I'm just so considering taking this house because how many of you know, faith, your flesh and your mind don't like pressing in faith. Your flesh and your mind like the natural. And the natural of that house was, we could probably swing that house. And it's way better than we already have now, and we'd be completely happy there. And I'm driving to South Dayton one day, and I'm thinking about that house, and I'm thinking about this other house that the Lord said was mine. And the Holy Ghost spoke up and said, that house, the Jamestown house in the cul-de-sac, that's your Ishmael. That's what he said to me. Now, what was Ishmael? Ishmael was the son that Sarah and Abraham had outside the will of God. They settled. And what did Ishmael bring? Sorrow. What does the Bible say? The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. Well, what did Abraham and Sarah do? Well, Sarah couldn't have a baby, so she brought her handmaiden, Hagar. And Abraham had a baby with Hagar and had a baby named Ishmael. And you look at Ishmael's life, and you look at the consequences, and you look at the sorrow. It wasn't a blessed thing. And the Lord said, you can get into this house, and it'll be a house, but there'll be sorrow attached to it. But my blessing makes you rich with no sorrow. And at that time, I had heard a sermon by Pastor Nancy called I Am Rich. And I just wept in my vehicle. I said, Lord, I'm ready. Let's go forward in this. Praise God, you know. And so he's telling me all this, and the thoughts are coming. Oh, you can get this house now. People are offering. That's the thoughts that are coming. And I just get off the phone, off there. And I had talked to somebody that helps people finance. And they had told me months earlier how much would be available for me to have for a house, and it was almost triple than what the house was asking for, how much would be available. And so I had already committed to it, and I called this person. I said, we have a meeting. I think I found a house I wanted. Didn't tell me anything that God said to me about it. Remember, the money's already in the bank. It's a cash deal. It's not going through a bank. The Lord told me who to go through. But this person had told me what I'm going to get, what I can give you at this time frame is it's like triple less than what the house is being asked for. So I sat down with the person, went to Bob Evans, said, I found a house I want. I know what you said you'd give me, but we like this place, and this is how much it was. He said, oh, I don't have this much money available to lend you right now. And I said, there's no pressure. Please just know there's no pressure. We get it, we get it, we don't. Even though in my heart I knew, done deal. Done deal. God already said, he said, let me go talk to my wife and I'll call you back. And I remember I'm sitting downstairs in my basement with the spiders. You remember the basement with the spiders? And I'm rocking back and forth in my rocking chair and I'm just praying and talking to God. It was on a Saturday. And I had already committed to the house, already told the realtor this, already made my pitch to her. And the gentleman calls me up and he says, talk to my wife. We'll do it for you. We'll do it for you. I said, thank you. But praise the Lord. The money's in the bank, just like the Lord said. It just wasn't my bank account, unfortunately. But somebody's. It's in somebody's. And so the realtor calls me back and says, she considered your offer. And we know that you offered that less, and we know you don't want to haggle and hassle. And it wasn't like an egregious offer. It was what God told me to offer. And he said, we know what you offered and things. He said, but she doesn't care about the money. It's more important to her that she can pick whenever she wants to get out of that place. And the fact that you don't need a mortgage, and the fact that you don't have a contingency on selling your house, those are the things that she cares about. The money doesn't matter. She'll take your offer. Those are the three things that the Holy Ghost told me to say that I would have never had the gall and the nerve to say unless he told me to say it. Amen. That's what Pastor Mike said. That's Brother Hagin type. So I said, they took the offer. And it all worked out. I mean, we had been confessing for 2 years that when we find a house, we'll have exactly 1 week, at least 1 week to move out of our house so it's not stressful. Guess how many days we had to get out of our old house into the new house? 7. Our house kept delaying and delaying. You know why our house kept delaying? We put that offer in July. We didn't move in until March. Why? Her place wasn't being finished. But that's okay that her place wasn't being finished, because while her place wasn't being finished and we couldn't get into her new place, our place we were living in wasn't selling. But you know when it sold? When she got into her place, our place sold. We had 7 days to get out, and it was stress-free and perfect and wonderful. Praise God. But what's my point of this whole story to tell you? The facts don't mean jack. The only thing that matters is when God said to me, this is your home. He told that to the children of Israel. This is your land. And they should have said, that's it. That settles it. Praise God, it's ours. Yeah, there's walled cities there, but who cares? Yeah, there's fortresses there, but who cares? Yeah, the people are stronger, but who cares? That's basically what Abraham said. Yeah, I'm an old fogey, but who cares? Yeah, my wife is not the same on date night, and you know, things are not like they used to be, but that doesn't matter. God said. Amen. Yeah. I know the doctor's report says stuff. I know your finances say stuff. I know your thoughts say stuff. I know circumstances say stuff. I know people say stuff. But who cares what all that says? What has God said? Amen. Amen. I did it again. I made myself happy when I preached. I'm so happy right now. It only matters what God said. Now, what if I would have been like the children of Israel, called that number on the sign. I believe I called and got the price because I didn't have service right there to get online, and heard the number and said, that's it. But then God said, make an appointment. And what if I walk in the house, it's just too much, I can't, the money is just, wouldn't have happened? I wouldn't have got the house. You know why people don't get their healing? Because they believe the doctors over God. Now again, doctor tells you to take your medicine. Doctor says you need therapy, do therapy. I'm not saying that, but don't believe that that's the end result for you. You know, the checkbook says you don't have any money, and don't go writing checks. I'm not saying don't believe the checkbook and the facts of what it's saying, but don't put your faith in that's the end result, and that's what we have to be stuck with. No. But people stay stuck in those things. Why? Because they can't get past the natural. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And our faith is grounded in what God has said. Amen? Amen. The facts don't mean jack, but what God says means jack. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm glad I came to church tonight. Are you glad you came to church tonight? Amen. Father, we worship and we praise you tonight. Oh, Lord, if you'll permit me, I'd love to share this again tomorrow night. But, Lord, whatever you want, of course, whatever you want. Father, we just love you tonight. We praise you tonight. Can we worship him together? We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We honor your name. We glorify your name. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness, Father. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It only matters what you say. We don't have to stay stuck in the hand that life dealt us. No. The word dealt us something better than life ever could deal us. We're going to get into some things. We're going to choose to believe you, Father. We praise you tonight and we glorify you. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness. with heads bowed, eyes closed, let me just check. If you're here tonight, you can say, Pastor, I don't know when my life is over someday if I go to heaven or not. I hope I do. I think I would, but when I think about heaven, I don't think I'll go to heaven or hope I go to heaven. I know I'll go to heaven. And God wants that assurance for everybody, and he made it simple to walk into that assurance. With heads bowed, eyes closed, or if you're listening by live stream, if you can say, you know what, I believe in Jesus. I believe he was real. I don't understand everything maybe, but I believe he was real. In my heart of hearts, I know Jesus died and rose again. But you can also say, I'm just not sure I'd go to heaven. Well, if you believe in Jesus, that's the first step. The second step is just to invite him into your life. And if you're here, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I won't embarrass you, won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. We won't embarrass you. You're not making a commitment to this church or saying anything other than, I want Jesus, I receive Jesus. Because the Bible says you must receive Jesus to have him come into your life. He's knocking on the door. Notice he knocks. Why? When somebody knocks, they're requesting you to open that door. The SWAT team doesn't knock. They just bust the door down. A thief doesn't knock. They just break in. Jesus is not a thief. He's not the SWAT team. He's a gentleman. And so he wants to be received. He wants to be welcomed in. And so if you're here tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed, he won't force himself on you. But you want to receive Jesus. You want to know for sure that you're going to heaven someday. Would you just raise your hand high in the air if you want to receive the Lord here tonight? Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let pride, don't let fear, don't let any thought come into the way. Just if you can say, Pastor, I believe in Jesus, but I've never received him. Now's your moment. Just slip your hand high in the air if you want to receive the Lord tonight. Is there anybody at all in this building that wants to receive Jesus tonight? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that all of us under the sound of my voice are born again. But if by chance somebody isn't, or they're listening by live stream now or in the future and they've not made Jesus their Lord, I pray that they would not pass from this life until they've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And if you are that person that needs to receive Jesus, you say, what does that even look like? Well, how do I even do that? You just cry out to him. You call on his name. And it would sound a little something like this. You can put it in your own words, but it's all about just declaring your belief and then asking him. Just say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, Jesus. I might not understand it all, but that's okay. In my heart of hearts, I believe in you. You died and rose again, and now I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And if you pray that prayer, he'll do his end of the bargain. He'll come into you. God will become a father unto you. He'll bless you. He'll help you. Glory to God. Father, we just worship you. Let's worship him tonight. We thank you, Lord. We glorify your name. Let's just wait on him for a second. Just begin to praise him and thank him. I just want to double check in my heart that we're done and that the Holy Spirit, we receive. Not every service will have laying on of hands or any kind of word, but I also want to give the Holy Ghost an opportunity. And sometimes we're just so quick to want to be done. And if the word's all we get tonight, that was enough. But Lord, is there anything else? We worship you tonight. We praise you tonight and we glorify you tonight. We honor you and we magnify you. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. Yeah, yeah, that's what that is, Lord. Okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that prompting. Yeah, I'm just going to say what has come up in my heart. There's someone here tonight that you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's the missing link in your life getting into what it needs to get into. It's the area of your life that is going to hold you back until you step over that, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. You see, Jesus said, you can look up here now, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, he said, I command you to not leave Jerusalem till you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we saw what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Ghost poured out on them, and the evidence or the response or the reaction was they spoke in tongues. So you can almost say it like this, that Jesus commanded the believer to speak in tongues. Amen. Remember he said in Mark chapter 16, in my name they shall cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. They shall speak with new tongues, right? So he said, and he said, don't leave. Now, why? Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues is the power that you need. He said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That word power is the word dunamis. It's miracle-working, dynamite, supernatural power. If you go, and Jesus just commanded. It didn't say he suggested or said this would be a good idea. He commanded his disciples. Well, if you're a believer, you're one of his disciples. He commanded, don't leave without this gift. And a lot of people are living life in a world run by the devil with no power. And the devil's eating it. And Jesus said, you never meant to live that way. So whoever that is, whoever that is in their heart, I want to invite you. You can come forward now. We'll pray, lay hands on you. receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you know, there's an anointing here for it tonight. It'll be easy to receive. I'll lay hands on you. I'll tell you to ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He'll do his part. I'll tell you to open your mouth, speak with tongues. The Holy Ghost will give you the utterance. Tongues will flow out of your mouth. You'll be baptized. You start walking all the benefits of that. And so there's an anointing. I do encourage you to take advantage of that if that's you right now. But if you come to me later and say, Pastor, I'm just too shy, you don't have to receive it in a church service. We can get you filled in my office. We can get you filled some other time. But if there's anybody here, let's just close our eyes and worship him. If there's anybody here that pertains to that you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, you want the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I'm telling you, it's the missing link in your life. Why? You're missing power. You're trying to do things. You're going against a supernatural force with natural force. The devil's supernatural. And Jesus said, I'll give you power when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. So if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, just come forward. Anybody at all that wants to take me up on that, I do encourage you, if that's you, don't let this night pass you by. Don't let this night pass you by. What do I mean by that? Doesn't mean you have to come up right now, but reach out to me and say, Pastor Mike, you were talking about me. Life seems hard. Life has been seeming challenging. Life kind of seems like, this is the way I relate to people that don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know what life is like for you? Going upstream in a boat, in a water full of peanut butter, and the only oar that you have is a straw. That's hard, going against the current of peanut butter upstream with a straw. That's what life is like without the Holy Ghost. Come to me in private, say, Pastor, you're talking about me. We'll get you filled. I'm telling you, it is the door opener to the supernatural. So we'll give it an opportunity if you want to come receive it now with the anointing here, and it'd be easy for you to get it. I'm telling you, it'd be quick and easy. Anybody want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Father, I don't see any takers, but I thank you, Lord. Lord, that person that you are dealing with, Lord, I pray that they would not let this night pass. This was their help. This was you prompting me not to close service, but to seek you. Then you revealing it to me. This was a visitation for them. So, Father, I pray that they take advantage of that visitation, that they would receive that. We thank you, Lord, and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you Saturday at 6:00.